RVFTA's Campground of the Week is sponsored by Jayco. To view their complete line of RVs, visit jayco.com. And by Progressive Insurance. Get an RV policy quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV. And by Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts. To find a campground near you, visit campjellystone.com.
America the Beautiful. There is adventure to be found around every corner.
And there is no better way to explore it than by staying at one of our country's 14,000 campgrounds.
Our team of correspondents will guide you to the best places to park your rig or pitch your tent.
On each week's episode, we'll give a complete review of one campground, location, activities, amenities, best sites, and tons of other insider intel.
Plus, we'll talk about regional highlights, food, culture, attractions, family fun, and all things great outdoors.
From the East Coast to the West Coast, and from the Great Lakes to the Mississippi Delta, it's time to hit the open road with RVFTA's Campground of the Week. Our Northeast correspondents are Jeremy and Stephanie Puglisi, the authors of The Idiot's Guide to RV Vacations and the co-hosts of the RV Family Travel Atlas and Campground of the Week podcasts. Welcome to the show, my bride, Stephanie. Oh, she hates that. She just visibly cringed. Welcome to the show.
I wasn't expecting that. All right. Well, thank you very much, Jeremy. So this week we are reviewing a campground that we are incredibly excited to review.
A campground this good makes you fall in love with the whole experience of RVing once again. And I'm not kidding.
Right.
It was that good.
Right. We're going to talk about it. And we're going to say why it was that good. And it's for the subtle reasons. It's for the very subtle reasons that make campground so good.
It's like, just like everything was right.
Yeah, right.
It was a magical weekend.
Yeah.
The weather helped too. Do you think that we had such amazing weather? Do you think that's like kind of shading our perceptions of this campground?
I don't know. I just think that this is the quintessential KOA.
It is a very quintessential KOA. So we're talking about the Gettysburg Battlefield KOA Holiday. But before we dive in and give you that great review, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts.
Award-winning Jellystone Parks have everything your family needs to make long-lasting camping memories. Whether you're an RV enthusiast, enjoy the comforts of a cabin, or prefer tent camping, Jellystone Parks have first-rate accommodations, amenities, and activities.
From amazing water zones to mini golf, wagon rides, themed weekends, and appearances from Yogi Bear and friends, you'll see that family fun is the main attraction at Jellystone Campgrounds. And with over 80 locations in the United States and Canada, you can have a quality camping experience that is also close to home. Visit campjellystone.com to find a Jellystone Park near you. Now, Stephanie, we have listeners in all 50 states, and everyone's probably heard of Gettysburg, but could you tell us a little bit more about where it is geographically?
Of course. So this is located in south central to southeast Pennsylvania. It's not far away from the Maryland border, and it's about 90 minutes away from Lancaster and also about 90 minutes away from Hershey.
I feel like the location in southern Pennsylvania also helps it get a little bit warm more quickly than, like, say, a Poconos type location in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, definitely. It's a little bit further away, definitely inland a little bit. We had some green on the trees a little bit more than we had at home when we went. So that was nice.
Well, I think that the green on the trees was actually surprising. I mean, the trees were really blooming when we were there.
Yeah, it wasn't surprising to me. Remember, we had that conversation before we went.
Stephanie told me the trees would be in bloom, and I said they would be bare, and she was right, and she needs to publicly scold me for that. All right, now this is a KOA holiday, and just to remind everybody, KOA has their journeys, their holidays, and their resorts, and most KOAs are holidays, or they are becoming holidays, and the idea is it's sort of your perfect base camp. It's not not an all-in-one resort experience where you don't have to leave the campground where everything is there. It's more of a base camp where it's going to have lots of fun things to do at the campground, but also it's just a way of jumping off and exploring the area.
In a destination, right? That's part of the, you know, experience, is that it's located in a destination that's going to have other things to do. And of course, we all know that Gettysburg, Pennsylvania is just an incredibly popular destination for history buffs. And
among history buffs, it is a borderline a mecca
for
American history buffs. And I mean, if you're a Civil War buff, it's holy ground. And I don't say that frivolously. I mean, it is almost a sacred place for people who are interested in the Civil War and American history.
Now, having said that, there are also many, many camping options in this area.
There are a ton. I mean, right off the top of my head, I can think of four other campgrounds.
Yeah, and there's even more than that. But I think that there's those top four, you know, that if you talk to anybody, they'll say, oh, I stay here, or I stay at Artillery Ridge, or I stay at the Gettysburg Campground, right? There's all of these ones that come up over and over again. And we've heard good things about many campgrounds of the area. So we decided to visit this one. And I will tell you that after going here, I will never stay anywhere else.
No, I want to go back to Gettysburg to see more of the history, but I want to revisit this campground. It is absolutely one of my favorite KOAs. I fell in love with this campground.
So it's a medium-sized campground, right? It's really not that big, but it's also not that small. It has two distinct parts. You pull in, and then there's a whole loop, you know, area to the right. There's a whole area to the left. In the middle is sort of that central camp store, bustling activity center, and we'll talk about all the amenities and everything that it has to offer there. But, you know, the primary thing that I noticed when I pulled in was, and this is always very important to me, everybody knows it, is the landscaping. I mean, it was just pulling in. There are rocks bordering paths everywhere. The shrubs, the plants,
and
the
flowers.
And what
was the flowering tree that was all over the place?
The red buds.
The red buds were gorgeous. Absolutely. But what Stephanie's saying is the attention to detail. This campground feels loved. It feels like every inch of the campground has been loved by the owners. And manicured, maybe too strong of a word, but they really have paid attention to the details.
It was manicured in the appropriate woodsy way. Like that, they made it feel like this cozy woods retreat.
It was rustic, mm-hmm. but definitely clean and tidy
yeah.
at the same time. It combined those things really, really nicely.
Tidy, rustic. Yeah, absolutely.
Rustic, so, tidy.
Rustic, tidy.
Now, another thing, you know, too, you mentioned there's RV sites, cabins, tent sites. More than maybe any campground I've been to in recent years, the cabins were gorgeous. Mm-hmm. If you're not an RVer or you're just one of those people that listen to our shows and you're thinking about RVing, this would be a great place to go and rent a cabin for the weekend to jump off and visit Gettysburg and also to get the campground experience. The cabins were slightly sloped up a hill.
Terraced.
So the campground
is terraced up the hill, and that adds to that feeling. And they were so charmingly placed. They're all placed at different angles, right? So it's not just this row of cabins all facing in the same direction. The road winds, you know, and the cabins will be placed at these different spots along the road.
I love a terraced campground.
I know.
Don't you love a terraced campground?
Now, another point that I want to say when we're talking about the sites is that, you know, you mentioned these cabins. Another thing I noticed that they were doing is they're putting cabins in different places next to campsites, which we talked with on a recent podcast episode about a trend in the campground industry to sort of mix accommodations.
So if you have friends without an RV, they rent a cabin, you get an RV site, and you could be sharing a campfire. You know, you could
exactly.
be 20 feet away from your cabin where your kids are sleeping. So,
it's
nice.
This campground definitely has that. There are RV sites right next to cabins. And in fact, while we were there on the last day we were there, we were packing up. They were delivering a cabin across from our RV site. The boys watched it like it was a movie. The cabin got delivered.
Well, I've never seen a cabin delivered. We all just sat there and gawked. You know, sometimes when you pull in with the RV and you're backing up and somebody like cracks a beer open and pulls out their lawn chair and watches, like that was us. We were all watching.
And we were there with friends that had been staying in another cabin, and they said it was so funny that the cabin got delivered. Like, well, next time you could stay at this site and we could stay in the cabin right across the street.
By the way, we were there with friends. Absolutely. But
yes.
It's also worth mentioning we were there doing a video with those friends for Highway 1 Media and for KOA.
I call them friends now because they filmed us.
Absolutely are friends. But, I mean, that actually was a huge part of the experience is that we were being filmed and the campground was gorgeous for it. So let's talk site details. I loved our site. So they have deluxe patio sites, not that many, and we couldn't even get one.
No,
when I booked, they were not available. And I booked back in the winter. There were deluxe sites, and we had a deluxe site. And it was really big. It had a swing chair. How would you describe that?
Yeah, swing chair.
Nice fire pit experience. And it was a really large site. If you go back through our Instagram feed, you could see this was a large private site, which I particularly appreciated during this weekend because we were doing so much filming and nobody knew.
No, you wouldn't even know because that's how private this campground felt. Like you could be in your site and nobody would even notice what was going on in your site. So I just want to say, like, if you look at the map, the site's over to the right where we were in site number 11, which is a beautiful site. So the site's over to the right. Those all have full hookups. Some of those are pull through. Those are where the patio sites are.
The most level sites
I
think I've ever experienced. I was all excited to test out my automatic one-touch leveling system on the Jayco Octane, and it worked great, but...
It took like 3 seconds.
I pressed the button and it laughed at me like, you silly boy, this site is so level already.
I got this.
And as I was walking around the site, I said to myself, oh, this site is so level. And some guy at the next site over was like, yeah, these are the most level sites I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's noticeable.
Now, if you go to the left, those are the sites that just have water and electric. So I do want to point out that those sites are a little maybe more private, you know, a little more tucked away. I felt like there was a little more space in between them, but you're only going to have water and electric. But if you have one of those smaller rigs and you want to do that, that might be nice for you too.
There was nice spacing between a lot of the sites. They were generously sized sites for a private campground. And one thing that I loved is they separated almost all of the sites with boulders and stones. And even if the site wasn't huge, it gave the sites a real sense of privacy, which I really, really liked.
Yeah. So in terms of booking, you know, if you want your pick of sites, you need to book early. But if you're, you know, flexible and you're not sure, you know, you don't really have a big preference, you could probably snap up a site, especially during the week, you know, even on a last minute trip.
We were there over Easter weekend and it was sold out or close to sold out, certainly. And then Monday it emptied out. I mean, the campground was definitely quiet. So there's another tip too. If you want to get the campground all to yourself, go during the week. It's a bit quieter.
Yeah. So the RV sites were between $50 and $90 for the deluxe patio, and the cabins were up above that. So the prices go up for the cabins.
Now let's talk about amenities. For a medium-sized campground, it sure packed a lot of stuff in, and it had basically outside of the camp store, it had an outdoor activity area for the kids that had so many games and so many things for them to do. There was a heated pool, which was closed because it was still April, brand new playground along a little stream, which was quite nice, a brand new camp canine, which was really nice. There's a camping kitchen, bike rentals, a really nice bouncy pillow, like the flat style, not the rounded one.
Some people call them jump pads, right?
Jump pads, yeah. Mm-hmm. So like it's a little bit better for little kids instead of the pillow where like a teenager could send Wesley flying 8 feet up into the air. And they also had on-site weekend breakfast cafe where they have pancakes.
And other things, which I liked. I always like other options besides pancakes. Now, I want to say that this is the exact example of something that we talk about so often. We say that you can have really engaging recreation that doesn't cost you an arm and a leg as a campground owner. The very first morning we were here, you know, we had arrived the day before. So the next morning you went off with the boys. I was doing something at the camper and then I went up to meet all of you. All the boys were playing different games. Somebody's playing cornhole. Somebody was playing in this little playhouse. Somebody was playing that carpet ball game.
And most of those things, I don't think mini golf is necessarily, but a lot of those things are free. So like cornhole, you just go sign your name and check out the beanbags.
Right. Shuffleboard, horseshoes. So
gigantic chess.
I love that. I love the real games. Okay. Don't put in an arcade, put out a bunch of cornhole, you know, tosses. And our boys made friends that very first morning. They made friends down there, and they were all playing together. It was just the perfect campground community experience.
Yeah, so one of the kids said, oh, can you come play tomorrow to Max? And Max was like, no, we're having a movie made at our site. And the kid looked at him like he was from Mars, which basically
you know what?
We are.
They were playing later. They played on the boulders across from our site. Those are the same kids, and there they are on the boulders, like playing for hours.
I like it when a campground puts all of those kid-friendly activities and amenities together in one area, so it becomes almost like a little kid village to some degree. I like that better than when they're spaced out. I know sometimes you like them spaced out.
No, I love it because all the kids could do different things, and we were sitting on a bench drinking a cup of coffee in the morning. That's just my ideal for a campground experience. I really like it. Very low-key recreation. And I think that's affordable, and I think campground owners need to spend more time putting those old-fashioned camp games
cornhole. Okay, you want to improve your campground? How much does it cost to get two cornhole sets?
Yep.
Or three cornhole sets, a couple hundred bucks at the most, and you've improved your campground, right? And the carpet ball, things like that, those things are not that expensive. You don't have to spend $1 million on a water park to make your campground awesome for kids.
Now, other unusual things, extra things that they have is they do offer a shuttle bus tour that you can book for the Gettysburg area. So you can do a tour right there from the campground. And then they also have on Thursday nights in the summer, Civil War ghost storytelling. And they have somebody there in like period garb who tells the ghost stories, which
is
fun. I
would love that.
Yeah.
I would love that.
Yeah. I mean, we would be interested, I think, in some of the, you know, the ghost tours that happen around Gettysburg, but we could never do them with the boys at this age. We do know people that have done that and have really enjoyed
Wesley
them.
Might not understand what's happening, but I think one of our twin boys would get a little frightened.
Oh, they would be up at night. Yeah. Absolutely. We wouldn't sleep.
All right,
so.
Wi-Fi and cell service were fine.
Everything
it wasn't
was fine,
like cracking fast, so it certainly wasn't slow. Stephanie, any insider details to book a great trip here to the Gettysburg KOA holiday?
My only insider detail would be if you can swing it. I loved our site, but I think that going to the left and going up in the area of like there was campsites in the 70s, if you look at the campground map, they're right near the entrance to the nature trail. The nature trail on this campground is so awesome.
It's a legitimate hike.
It's a legitimate hike. It's beautiful. And they have sites that are over there that are right
next
to the entrance.
There's one site literally next to the nature trail. It's a beautiful site. And this is a gorgeous walk. Like if you did the walk all the way to one side and then walked all the way back, it's a good healthy walk and it's beautiful up there in the woods.
Yeah. So I would highly recommend kind of doing that if you wanted a little more rustic kind of experience.
That's
I think
right
it's
on the campground.
You
can get a good hike in right from your RV and back. You could do a couple miles.
Yeah, I'm not sure that we could fit over there, but if we could,
there
I would
was
like
a decent,
it.
There was like a 28-foot travel trailer there.
Right.
I don't know if our toy hauler would quite make it, but you could get a good-sized travel trailer in that site right next to the nature trail.
Yeah.
Those people were loving that site. I talked to them. I was like, oh my God, you guys have such
a
great site. And they're
yeah.
like, oh yeah, this is the one
I think it's
one
like
we...
70 or 72, that kind of number. But
yeah,
if you look
you're
at the
facing
map,
the camp store, it's the furthest site to your left in the extreme corner of the campground. Now, here at RVFTA, we know that no campground is perfect. But Stephanie and I sat here for 5 minutes trying to figure something out. I mean, just so many of the details were right. The owners were nice. The staff was nice. The sites were nice.
Oh, speaking of staff, we didn't even mention that the gentleman that backed you in was like
tied for all-time
unbelievable.
Greatest.
Yeah.
Not that our site was that hard to get in, but he just nailed it. I mean, he got me in there, man. And he was so friendly and he helped us throughout the week. He lent us his propane line.
Oh, yeah.
Because our grill didn't – he was just really a great yellow shirt.
The camp workers there were awesome and friendly and just always there, always present, always picking up your trash. Just.
And I want to give them a shout out for another reason. They raised over $10,000 for care camps last year, for KOA's care camps. They ask you in the camp store to round to the nearest dollar. They ask you nicely, would you like to round to the nearest dollar for care camps? And they do complimentary coffee every morning, and you can leave a donation for care camps. So they really do push for the care camps donations in a really nice way.
Everything about this campground felt warm, hospitable, clean, friendly. I mean, a ship shape. They had all their ducks in a row. The only thing that I can say in terms of nobody's perfect is that It was gravel roads, so it wasn't a good bike riding campground.
Yeah, I almost feels picky saying that, but it's true.
It's relevant that our boys do love paved roads to ride their bikes, and they definitely don't get on their bikes that often if there's not paved roads in the campground.
Yeah, because if you go fast on your bikes, you can wipe out here.
Yeah.
Now, also, I just have to say, too, you're 10 minutes from the battlefield.
Right.
So besides being a really beautiful, relaxing, tranquil, rustic, but tidy campground, you're really close to a major, major American historical site. So that's our review of the Gettysburg Battlefield KOA holiday.
Blew me away. It really did out. Like, I was not expecting. I don't know why, but I wasn't expecting to be as impressed.
Well, I think we know why, because we said that the pictures on the website did not do the beauty of the campground justice. I think that was one reason why. We were expecting it to be nice, but we weren't expecting it to become an all-time favorite, which it clearly
charmed the socks off of me. And I'm not one that heaps praise, right? I'm not normally gushing. And I thought this was charming.
So when can we go back?
All right.
Because we're so scheduled this year.
We are. We're very scheduled.
And the owner, Laurel, kept saying, you got to come back when the trees are in full bloom. I want to come back maybe during fall foliage. But we'll come back in a second. We'll talk about the things that we did around the national park and some of the things we did downtown. Stay tuned.
Generations of family fun. It's what Jayco's founder, Lloyd Bontrager, set out to provide nearly 50 years ago when he started the company on the family farm in 1968.
Today, Jayco, the world's largest privately owned RV manufacturer, is still focused on providing a way for families to create lasting memories.
From camping trailers to gas Class A motorhomes and everything in between, you'll find that Jayco offers the most standard features and the best warranty in the industry, giving you the value you want and the peace of mind you deserve.
Visit your local Jayco dealer or jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun. Welcome back to the show, everybody. We just gave you a great review of the Gettysburg Battlefield KOA holiday, and now we're going to talk about some things that we did in the area, including visiting the battlefield itself. But first, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Progressive Insurance, and next time you visit a battlefield, make sure you're insured with Progressive.
In case the cannons start. All right. So your RV is very different from your car, which is exactly why you need to get specialized RV insurance coverage instead of insuring under your auto policy. With specialized coverages, you're even more protected on the road. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com/RV.
Now, I want to say we were doing a short video of our stay, so we did not go as intensely into the national park as I would have liked. So I do want to come back. So this is really just a beginner's taste of Gettysburg. And there's so much more to do both in the town and around the battlefields.
Now, a visit to Gettysburg, I want to say, is one that I recommend being a tad more scheduled than you might normally be for a national park. So you figure when you visit a lot of national parks, what do? You visit the visitor center. You maybe do a couple of hikes. Maybe there's a drive. The thing about Gettysburg is it's not a lot to see other than fields. Okay.
I take umbrage with that a little bit. Now, you're not the only one who has said that to me. I do think there's some truth to that where you're kind of going from one part of the battle to the next. But it is beautiful, rolling countryside, and there's a lot to digest historically, too. So,
but you need to know the history to digest it. That's my point, is that it's not like, you know, when you're at Acadia National Park, the interesting things, the mountains, the beach, the animals, they're in front of you. You're looking at them.
Right.
You don't need somebody to tell you, and that's a mountain.
Well, that's exactly right. So here, if you're just driving around with no historical context, it just looks like a pretty part of Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
With and, memorials.
So I really do think that you have to plan out how you're going to experience it. And there's a lot of different ways to do it. So let's start with the driving tours.
Let's start with a trip to the visitor center.
Okay, yeah, that's a good idea. Let's do the visitor center first.
Really want to get centered at the visitor center. We always talk to a park ranger first to get tips about what to do, where to hike, you know, what's good for kids our age. So we did that. We ended up in the bookstore to buy one of the driving tours. And there are at least two. There are two that the person behind the counter showed me. And I said, well, which one is better? And she said, oh, we have a huge debate here. We always argue about which one is better. And I said to her, a gift shop divided against itself will not stand.
And you were just so proud of joke.
And she giggled.
Yeah, she giggled. She got her to laugh. All right.
So we bought one of the two audio tours for the car, and it was excellent.
Yeah. So now another thing that I would highly recommend is buying tickets for the Cyclorama Film and Museum. All right. So those are $15 for adults and $10 for kids six and over. Wes was free. That film is a really good introductory film. Then the Cyclorama is the 360-degree oil painting of the battle.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Awe-inspiring.
It is. And it's a performance, too. So you go up there. It's not like you just stare at the painting. They talk. You know, there's, like, the background, and then, like, lights go, like you
for
know,
bombs and cannons
and
stuff. I know about bombs.
I know cannons.
Anachronism.
Yeah.
Cannons. Cannon
they
fire.
Go off. In different places and everything. So that really did help a lot with the context before we went off on our audio tour.
And you feel like you're up on that hill, you know, defending that hill with the Union soldiers. It's pretty incredible the way it's set up. So don't miss the Cyclorama.
Yeah.
And the film was good too, and just the right length for kids.
Yeah, know? And it was, I think it was engaging, and I think it helped the boys kind of get themselves a little centered in where we were. Now, for the driving tour, like Jeremy said, we bought the audio CD so we could drive around from point to point, and as you're driving, the gentleman talked about the history, talked about what was going on at that particular point in Gettysburg, and then when you got there, he'd give you like another little spiel.
And can I say this as the driver? It was really easy to do the drive and listen. And it was very clear when you needed to turn, and it was very clear when you should stop. It was very well thought out. Now, the boys did not necessarily do incredibly well with the audio tour. So when we first started playing it and the guy was like describing the Confederates, you know, charging up the hill, like the boys thought that they were going to charge up the hill.
They're like
they
where?
Felt like actors were going to like charge up the hill and the whole thing would be enacted for them.
Yeah.
So just the audio, I guess they just weren't old enough for that because they didn't, they're usually so into history
now,
and the audio tour did not really capture them.
It didn't. And that's what I was saying about like how you just need to do more than look at the fields if you're traveling with kids especially. So there's two other options that you can do for the tours of the battlefields from the visitor center. And the first is that you can have a licensed battlefield guide come in your vehicle. And they come in your vehicle and they go around. Now, I have to say, this was not an option for us on this particular day because we wouldn't really have anywhere for him to sit.
On your lap.
Because I thought about it.
Weird. Or with the three boys in the back seat, which I bet you they'd be game on and do.
But here's the thing. If we had had a real live tour guide, I think that they would have engaged so much more with just the entire thing. Our boys respond really well to tour guides, and that energy that somebody who knows a lot about the history and can tell those little stories here and there. So I'll be honest, for $75, I think that that would have made the difference between our boys.
This is
really
what I'm saying. We need to plan a return trip. Yeah. And I think I'm going to have a hard time getting that trip planned because we have such a busy year ahead of us. But I feel like next camping season, Gettysburg's got to fit into our schedule again.
Now, the third option is you can do the licensed battlefield guide bus tour right there from the visitor center. And here's the thing with that. The tickets, the adults are $35 and kids 6 and up are 21. So it would have cost us over $100 for us to go on that bus tour as a family. Even if you're a couple, you think 35 and 35, That's $5 less than getting your own private
Harry Potter was $1,000 for the day.
I know.
I think we could have pulled off 100 for Gettysburg. I mean,
but
I know what you're saying.
It's pricey.
Yeah, I mean, like definitely adding an expense, but I think it's still a decent option.
I would like to see some of these things more affordable here. I'm not sure why the cost seems a little prohibitive in terms of a
There's
national park.
There's a lot
park.
Of upkeep there. I mean, we always say they don't charge enough to upkeep these parks.
Yeah, but
here.
That's when we're paying $15 a car to get
but
in.
Also,
this is expensive.
This was all incredibly well kept.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's beautiful. The visitor center is very new, and a lot of this stuff is very new.
So I really wanted to do a ranger-led hike, and we didn't get to do that this time. But there are definitely a couple different options for ranger-led hikes, and we would totally encourage you to schedule one.
Yeah, go online. And we had done this. It was just we couldn't fit it into the schedule. So go online, and there is, unlike under the things to do, and I'll link to it in the show notes, it has every day the times that these ranger-led programs are going to be. And it's going to be 10:30 for the Cemetery Ridge hike, and it's going to be 1 o'clock for the Hold to the Last, the Battle for Little Round Top, and 3 o'clock for the Third Day and Beyond. So if you want to make one of those, you really do have to look online and look at that schedule. Otherwise, it's just going to be like by chance, because it's not going to happen at the visitor center. The visitor center is maybe 10, 15, 20 minutes away from the location that is at.
So it's a huge area, surprised me. I mean, obviously, like it wasn't one battle in one spot. It was a raging battle for several days that took place all over the place, right?
Yes. And so another thing that you want to do is the living history event. So again, this usually happens on the weekends because these infantries, you know, these like reenactments, these are normal people with everyday lives that come, you know, usually on the weekends to do them.
I don't know if they're normal people.
Right.
They're people.
People.
People. No, I'm not. If you are a historical impersonator.
You're going to get email for
no,
that.
No, God bless you. I love you. We love you.
Don't send that email. So they have the living history where you can, at the visitor center, they'll tell you what's going on and where in the park, and you can go and you can interact. Like at one point we were going past one of the points on the audio tour and I saw the Calvary there and I said to the boys, oh, do you want to get out and talk to them and look at the horses? They're like, no.
Listen, all this just leads me to say, this is not a one-day trip into Gettysburg. I mean, you could do a week here touring the battlefields. I mean, people spend a lifetime studying this stuff, but it's definitely like a stretch weekend or a full week of exploring.
Okay, I think that if you took your kids for a full week of battlefields,
okay, you're right.
No.
Here's the deal. We spent 4 nights there. But we only went to the battlefields one day. And I really wish it had been 2 days, but we were preoccupied with filming.
I think that that's true. I think that stretching the audio tour or stretching
We only did 20% of the audio tour.
Because it's too much. That's my point. Stretching that into 2 days is really more appropriate if you're doing it with kids. It says it takes about 3 hours, but I'll be honest. Like Jeremy kept saying, I wish we had more time. I wish we had more time. And I kept saying, like, enough already. Like, I'm done. Like, the kids are not super engaged. I like history, but, like, not when we're just driving around looking at fields.
I think when the kids are in middle school or even high school, this will be a tremendous place to take them and really study the history.
But then we got to Little Round Top, and because there was rocks for them to scramble all over, there was just these wonderful little caves and everything. They had the time of their life at Little Round Top. So that was a stop towards the end of
the tour.
That's
a must. The boys had so much fun there. We went there twice.
Yeah, I mean,
they loved it
so
much. We went back for sunset, and it is supposedly the best place to see a sunset in the park, and it was a beautiful, beautiful sunset.
Yeah, we scored big time. So now the other thing you might want to consider doing at the Gettysburg National Military Park is the Eisenhower National Historic Site. That you cannot drive there. The shuttle leaves from the visitor center. It's another visitor center thing. You purchase tickets. You go out there on the shuttle. There's a house tour. And 99% of the home is the original furnishings from when Ike and Mimi, right? Is that what it was?
I think
and Mimi
Yet
lived there?
Yet another reason to go back. Now, we didn't spend much time downtown, but it is a charming downtown. We had a really nice lunch at Food 101.
Yes. Okay, very delicious. Nice little cafe. Very family friendly, but also a little bit of elevated cuisine, you know?
And it's not, there's not many tables, so you could get a long wait. We got lucky. Stephanie chose that because it had like things like cheeseburgers for the boys, but we could get something a little bit nicer, a little bit more locally sourced, a little bit
salads, sandwiches,
organic, things like that. We also had really good coffee at the Ragged Edge, and that's a very charming coffee shop. However, I did buy a bag of French press, and it was not, I mean, French roast, and it was not French roast. Stephanie and I both.
Next morning you made it.
We made it. We were like, this is not French roast. Like, they put the wrong beans in the bag.
Yeah,
it
was that like was a
fruity,
like a medium,
African medium roast, and, and like, we wanted like a bold French roast. But the coffee was very good. It was a very cute and charming place to go in, have a cup of coffee, relax, and hang out. So overall, I was impressed with Gettysburg as a destination. I was incredibly impressed by the KOA. This is the top of my list for a return trip.
It is, and I just want to do something. What my goal is next time is to do something that is more of one of the paid tours, whether it's a bus tour or whether it's a ghost tour.
Horseback riding tour.
Right. Like something that is just super, makes you like that present feeling, and you just have somebody who's bringing a history to life. I feel like Gettysburg needs that. And my number one, you know, piece of advice for people visiting is to, you know, rely on the experts to help bring this area to life. So.
Absolutely. Now, we need to thank our sponsors. Big thank you to Jayco. To view their complete line of RVs, head on over to jayco.com. Another big thank you to Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts, and you can check them out at campjellystone.com. And another big thank you to Progressive Insurance.
Did you know that adding your RV insurance with another Progressive policy like auto, motorcycle, or boat is a great way to save money when you're out on the road seeing the sights? Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com/RV for more info today.
And we will see you at the battlefield.
We'll see you at the battlefield with a battlefield tour guide. Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in to RVFTA's Campground of the Week.
Links to the campground and regional attractions can be found in the show notes at campgroundoftheweek.com.
And don't forget to check out the other podcasts in our network.
RV Family Travel Atlas is hosted by yours truly, Jeremy and Stephanie Puglisi, and available every Friday morning.
And Girl Camper, Going Places, Doing Things, is hosted by Janine Pettit and released every Tuesday morning.
Join us next Thursday for another great review from our team of campground correspondents who will inspire you to hit the open road and explore America the Beautiful.